Welcome to Living on Purpose. My name is Lynn and I am your host. And upcoming now is a conversation I had recently with Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Thanks for listening.
I've been listening to you since 1994, which is actually when you were syndicated, interestingly.
Oh, fabulous.
I remember driving down the road on Vancouver Island on my way back to the little Gulf Island where I was living. Mm-hmm. You were talking to a caller. She wanted to know what was going on with this guy who wasn't making any moves on her.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, it's funny thing about women. If men are coming onto them all the time, they're animals. And if they don't come onto them, they're gay. What's a guy to do? He doesn't win either way, right? And
right.
That was exactly what was going on for me that week.
Oh, God.
It was such a coincidence and really got my attention, obviously, and just amazed that you're still doing what you're doing with such energy. I just thought, well, now that I'm in radio, I think I'll just see if you want to be my guest.
Well, let's do it.
When you woke up this morning, was there something that was on your mind that was giving you a motivation to want to get up and do the day?
No.
Great. So you're just like an open slate, ready to go.
I get up, I know vaguely, the night before I take a quick check of my calendar and I go, okay, what's tomorrow? And I went, oh, that's a pretty light day. I'm not doing 15 things. And so if it's not intense, then I just flow with it. I've learned, you know, I'm 59 years old, and I have learned very well how to get the best out of myself. And the way I do that is to not fret,
yep.
Worry, go over. But I have learned to trust like I do on air. People wonder how I know what's really going on with people. Well, I just am completely open, and I don't worry about if I sound smart,
mm-hmm.
sound nice to everybody. I worry only about helping the person, and to do that, I somehow have to be relaxed and open and calm and focused enough on them that I feel every resonance in their voice, every inhalation, every word choice, and so I just allow my brain to process it, and sometimes I feel like a third party to the conversation. I know that sounds odd, because I'm listening at a level that I wouldn't listen if I were listening to the radio, listening to my show on tape. When I do hear my show afterwards, if I'm driving somewhere and I hear it on XM, I don't stop the car until I get to the end of the call, because a lot of times I don't know what I did, because I'm not in that same space. I get up in the morning. Whatever I have to deal with, I just stay open to so that I'm completely relaxed. I mean, 30 seconds before I dialed your number, I was interviewing a sheriff about a letter that somebody sent me, because I also write for my local paper, and I was interviewing him about the question I got so I could put it in the column. And then I hung up, put save onto the computer, because I can type as fast as most people can talk, so I don't need to tape record when I'm talking to somebody.
Ooh.
You know, I have it done already, and then I hung up, picked up the piece of paper, and called you. I just allow myself, learned what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not good at. And one of the things I'm good at is if I relax, my brain will just take me where I need to go.
That's lovely. I love the way you express that. That's really how you sound when you're on the radio with people. I like how you say to some callers, why should I care more about your life than you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they get flippant, or they're not really taking the call seriously.
And they've made... they're not even paying for the call.
Yeah. I mean, they're making the effort to call you. What's that?
Use me well.
Yeah.
I say things on the air I wouldn't have said 20 years ago.
Sure.
Because I was still worrying about what everybody would think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm well over that.
Yeah, you must be by now.
Ducks are jealous of my back.
So how was it for you when you started? Do you remember your first session?
Sure. I was on once a week, and I threw up before every Saturday. And it keeps you thin, but not for the good reason. So I was so freaked out all the time, and young and inexperienced and insecure and all the things that come with youth. But I was determined, and I was committed, and, you know, I'm intense about everything I do. But when people say, gosh, you know, I'm whatever age I am, I wish I could start it all over again, not me. The bad news about being 59 is that I have smile lines when I'm not smiling. But the good part of being 59 is you have developed and honed yourself to such a marvelous degree that now you can really enjoy what you do and not fret about it.
For sure. So how did you get over the freaked part?
Experience.
Yeah, it's just doing it.
When people call me, you know, I want to get over being scared about speaking in public or doing this and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to do it for a good 10 years, and then you won't be scared.
Yeah.
I can walk up in front of a group of 5 million people now and have no idea what I'm going to talk about until I get on stage.
Right.
Usually, how I do public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I just get up, and I trust my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I create things up there. It's like a painter being given
yes.
a new set of paints and a canvas, and here you go, do whatever you'd like. And that's just so great.
It is. It's the ultimate creative process,
yeah,
really.
I love it.
Yeah. So how did this one-woman show come about?
Well, I saw Lily Tomlin about 25 years
okay.
ago in her one-woman show, and it just lit my fire. And so last year, I said, you know what, I have to do this. So we got a Broadway producer, Broadway director, got all this kind of stuff. They made beautiful sets for me.
Nice.
Put together the visuals and the audio visuals for the beginning before I get out there. And then they said, okay, what are you going to do? And so I got a writer. And that lasted about a month when I realized nobody can write me.
No.
And so that was the end of that. And this is the God's truth. The first night that I did my one-woman play, I walked onto that stage, no script, no outline, no clue. The director and the producer are sitting out there going, how did we even put this together? We didn't know what you were going to do. And it was marvelous. I had a good time. The audience loved it. The first act, I run a thread of me from being a fertilized egg to now.
Okay.
At the same time, I interweave when I get up at 5 in the morning till noon when I go on the air. So by the time I finish the first hour, people have a thumbnail sketch of my life and my day.
In an hour?
Yeah. Well, I usually go to an hour 15.
Yeah, but you're allowed to. It's your show.
Well, yeah, the audience loves it. The you know, everybody else is some union, so they go nuts.
Yeah, right. Do you see an ongoingness of this, or is this sort of
well,
like...
we're doing it next month in Detroit.
Okay.
So some Canadians can make it over the border
mm-hmm.
and back before the INS gets.
quick.
And then I'm going to be doing it in Baltimore. So I'm going to be doing probably about 8 more. Then I'll see what I want to do.
Yeah, good. How did you first even get into radio? Like, what was the connection for you?
I had no intention to be on radio. Radio is something you listen to find out the weather to see if you
sure.
go to the beach. That was all I used radio for. But I was visiting in California, and I heard this talk show host, and he was hilarious. And he was just sort of comedic with, you know, pseudo-shrink stuff, but he was not a shrink, but he was just funny, talking to women about their love lives and what have you.
Uh-huh.
And he would have a topic of the day, and the topic was, would you rather be widowed or divorced?
Hmm.
So I said, my name is Kathy, called in just to have fun,
yeah,
and said, I'd much rather be widowed. Well, why? Well, because then people bring food. And talked to me for about 20 minutes, and me to come down, met me. I was the sexuality expert. Within about 3 weeks, I was asked to come on as a regular.
Really?
And that was on the Los Angeles ABC Network affiliate.
Wow.
Nothing like starting at the top.
No, that's amazing.
And the way I got my own show is the host of that show was being interviewed on a small station in Orange County, California,
uh-huh.
California. And I went with him. And the guy was very mean to me, and I was only 28. A little too sensitive. I left in the commercial and was sobbing in in the hall. It was pathetic. And so as we're driving back, people were calling the guy because we had the station on and saying, you were so mean to me.
Oh.
And the boss of the station, the operations manager, heard the whole thing and fired him.
Wow.
And the next week I had his show.
So oh, my.
It was a pure accident. I called in to be funny, and then I went in the hall and cried. That's my career.
Wow, what a start. How do you think that people get up the courage to phone you now? Because
I have no clue.
I mean, would you phone into your show?
Well, I'll answer it, yes, I would, only if I was really desperate to hear the truth and I couldn't find it anywhere, because you don't get truths much. People placate you, or they have their little ideologies, which are totally wrong, but they're politically correct. People call me because they listen long enough to know that I am really going to get my hands in the blood. But when it's finished, they're going to heal. So people call because they trust me that I'm actually going to be able to help them.
You're very straightforward, that's for sure. Now, you did private practice for quite a few years, didn't
yes.
you? Do you do that at all anymore?
Oh, no. I remember one of the last times somebody came in, sat there looking at me expectantly, held out a piece of paper and asked me to sign an autograph. And I realized the whole thing's gone.
Of course,
yeah. Aside from which, I realized that I could do more to help a greater number of people
yeah.
on radio because I don't need an hour anymore.
Yeah.
The patient thing of sitting for an hour was starting to drive me nuts because it was a lot of it was wasted time.
Mm-hmm. What a great way to shift your outreach and, as you say, reach way more people than you would have.
I take what I do very seriously. I guess the only thing that can ruffle a feather on me is when somebody calls what I do entertainment. That I can be entertaining, okay, but I don't do this for entertainment. I'm dead serious, even with all my wackiness. I am dead serious. I was just as wacky in private practice.
What has made you such a strong advocate for families and for children?
I think that just evolved when all the little kids were calling me, telling me the horrors of their lives, and the kids have no power and control. Their parents can do any damn thing they want, frankly, and the kids are helpless victims. You know, I stand for the helpless.
Mm-hmm.
I try to give power to the powerless.
Yep.
And besides, you mess a kid up, then we have a messed up adult. That makes that adult dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself continuing to do this for years and years? Forever? As long as you can.
As long as I can press a button, you know.
Yeah, right.
Microphone.
No. Other people could do that part for you.
Yeah, that could. I could just wiggle my nose.
That's right. Just keep your lips moving.
Oh, I love what I do.
Yeah.
When now and then I feel, like, grumpy or grousy about it because something or other has happened, I'll get I get a ream of letters a day, and they keep me going.
Do you respond to them?
I can't. When something particularly tweaks me, but you can't. There's just too many. There are thousands a day.
Unbelievable. You don't have a letter person to try to deal with them?
No, that would be phony. No. We're clear on the website that it's one-way commentary.
How have you been affected by the counsel that you've given to other people? Improved or enhanced your life?
Well, I think it goes the other way. As I've improved my life and matured, my counsel is matured better.
Sure.
So it's the other way, actually.
Okay, yeah. Are you surprised by any of the calls you get?
I'm flabbergasted. Self-centered, apparent ignorance of people.
Oh, dear.
Not appreciating how much they're hurting folks around them, especially kids.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? You know, when women call, I have low self-esteem, and he's violent, and he has affairs, and he's a drunk. And I have a one-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, the violent, the affairs, the drunk, and you're wanting to be with him to fix him or because he's the best guy you can get is not going to keep me up tonight. But you knew this was a bad choice, and you brought a child into it. And for that, I am angry. And I will say that on the air for the other women listening. You want to mess with your life? Go ahead. Make your day. But don't you dare triangulate a kid into this horror. I can't even understand. And it isn't even low IQ. It's just total self-centeredness, drama, emotion, irresponsibility, weakness, which everybody has a right to. But when they bring kids into it, that's when Mother Laura is going to go ballistic.
Some of the calls I've heard that you've taken there, it feels quite sad to know, like, how on earth can that be salvaged and how can that child's life be improved?
Many things can't be salvaged.
Yeah.
And I have to live with that.
I think it's amazing, though, how you can illuminate that, as you say, for other people so that if they're on the brink of making that kind of choice, that they will, you know, hopefully give their head a shake from hearing something said so straight on.
Yeah.
Because where else is that really being heard?
None. And the so straight on is very important. Some people criticize me for being so blunt that it seems callous. Wrong, wrong, wrong. When you get it blunt, it's hard, it's hard to hide from it.
Right. And that's going to echo through your day. And
And it reverberates in their heads because I didn't sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm. So how have you handled the controversy around your attitudes and your values and your approach with this Dr. Laura show?
Well, I'm ultimately tough. And the toughness comes from absolute commitment to my mission. It's probably where my son, who's in the Army, gets his tenacity from.
Oh, your son is in the Army.
Yeah, he volunteered. Well, of course, we don't have draft anymore. I believe that I have feedback. It's not even a matter of I have to believe. I get feedback every day
as
to how much value there is in what I do. So if I have to take crap from ill-meaning idiots, I'll do it.
Speaking of your son, I wanted to ask you how you balance family and career, how that's gone. You've never balanced it?
Never balanced. I don't believe in balance.
Tell me about that.
I made choices. For example, when my kid was very little, I thought I was being offered afternoon drive. I was going to have to turn it down. There's no balance. you turn it down, because that would have meant that my baby would have gotten home from kindergarten and I wouldn't be there.
Yep.
Daddy would be there, but I wouldn't be there. And he'd go to sleep, and I'd come in after he was asleep and kiss him goodnight.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I didn't go through 12 hours of labor and a C-section for that. I would have rented a kid. I never balanced. That's why it is hysterical that I am not the icon of the feminist movement, to show that women can have a ton of stuff if they make choices. The balance is a lie, because I'll tell you, as I say to every woman on the air, when you have kids and you have a full-time job, the job always comes first. Your kid will be dumped. Somebody else will pick you up. Somebody else will be there. You'll be in daycare, nanny, babysitter. I have to work. Your boss wants you overtime. You have to do it. So the kid gets the short end of the stick. There is no balance. There is only sacrificing children's needs. So I never did that. I ran my career around my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked. I would take care of Derek all day. And then I would, at 9 o'clock at night, get in the car and go to work from 10 to 1 in the morning.
Hmm.
Be up at 6 a.m., get him up, get him to school. He didn't even know I worked. I mean, he did, but he didn't. Balance is a lie.
Okay, all right.
Lie. You have
well,
to make choices. And yeah. Now that he's out of the house, I can do anything I damn well please.
Yeah.
And I love this. What empty nest. Freedom!
What's been the biggest change for you that way with what's happened since he left home?
Oh, I've taken on sailboat racing. I've added more work that I love to do. Columns, traveling.
And motorcycle riding?
No, I fell off a bicycle and did a lot of damage. I'm all healed, but I figured if I got that damaged on a bicycle,
yeah.
I didn't want to know what would happen on a motorcycle.
Okay, so you just let other people enjoy that.
Yeah. One day I might get a trike. You can't fall over.
No, you can't fall over as easily. When you're doing your show, where are you actually broadcasting from?
From my house.
Oh, from your house.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how handy is that?
That's right. I have a 30-second commute to work.
You have a screener?
Oh, that's all in another city. Yeah.
So you see it on your screen at home,
right.
What the caller... Oh, right. Man. That,
the engineer. And
that's
all.
Pretty luxurious.
Where they are is a huge, luxurious studio. Where I am is a closet. Seriously, I am in a closet. I'm not even in the closet because you can't. The equipment's in the closet. I'm sitting right outside the closet.
Wow.
So, no, it's not luxurious whatsoever.
Okay, sorry.
What I had was drop-dead gorgeous.
So when did you start doing this from home?
When we moved after Derek graduated. So
okay.
Several years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we certainly heard a lot about Derek over the years.
Yeah, well, that was quite a journey for me.
Yeah. How has being a mother and doing your life as you have, how's that changed you, do you think, from how you were before you had him?
Much more mature and deep and responsible person
yeah.
You become.
Yeah.
You have the option of becoming when you're a parent. Considering some of the people I talk to, it's obviously not a slam dunk, but for me, it just took my life and made it more real and deeper
mm-hmm.
for somebody beside yourself.
I think I've heard you talk a few times about that over the years, about people choosing not to have children.
I'd rather they didn't just make them as accessories.
You've said sometimes when people see their kid, you know, once or twice a month, and you ask them, well, could you have a relationship at that frequency?
Say, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Role models in the past and current.
I was never one to need those.
Yeah, I wondered if you would say that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
I'm asked that a lot, and I never know what to say. I could make up something, but in reality, just the concept of, you know, movies that I've seen, the kind of movie that will move me the most
mm-hmm.
is one where people sacrifice for others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been my dream. You're important because you matter to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes anybody important,
mm-hmm.
that they matter to other people. Mm-hmm. And if you lead your life just for your own aggrandizement, then you don't mean anything. Anyway, that's the thought I always had since I was a little kid, because I was born in 47, so the 50s were a wonderful influence
mm-hmm.
on people, because it was just everybody embraced values. You know,
mm-hmm.
now you have to dig through a lot to find somebody who does, but at those times, everybody shared the same elevated values.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky to be brought up in that era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, And you're on the brink of a very exciting time of your life, going out of the 50s. I'm just about to go into the 50s.
I don't think there's anything too exciting about turning 60 in January. I am in a major pout about that. So you don't want to go there.
Now, wait a minute. I remember you having a challenge getting over the hurdle into 50 now.
No, 40s was bad. 50s was fine.
Oh, okay.
50s is going to not be pretty.
But you're in pretty good shape. I think
I'm a babe.
You work out a lot.
You can go on my website. I'm in leotards there that I just took several months ago, and I am hot. But, you know, I'm going to be 60, and I'm not happy about that.
And you love to dance. I love the way you said that, you know, the highest ticket pricers will be able to boogie with you afterwards. So I guess that means you got to get a band arranged since you're telling everybody. That's a good one. Call for a party, and you'll meet
That's it.
Yeah.
Oldies rock, but you can really understand the lyrics and move to it.
Yeah. Have you ever had experience with community radio at all?
Very little.
Mm-hmm. You just dove right into the commercial, as you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was an accident. I had never intended to be in radio, but my destiny came and got me, didn't it?
It sure did. What would you have done otherwise?
Oh, I was going to get the Nobel Prize for scientific research.
So you were heading in that direction with science, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was appealing to you the most with that?
Oh, you know, discover a cure for something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so can't you do that now that you've got an empty nest?
What, go back into science?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. No, thank you. Trying to get money for research and all that? Not interested.
Living on purpose, when I say that, does it spark anything particularly for you, what that means to you?
Everybody should have a mission. Without a mission, people actually aren't as healthy and don't live as long.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't control the universe, but it makes life worth living, and as it turns out, people who have a mission, in other words, live as though they matter to other people, tend to do better in life.
Mm-hmm.
Less depressed, more functional, deal with stress better. I have such a blessing between noon and three. I can help people, sometimes whether they want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that keeps me going. I'm now involved with Operation Family Fund, which helps the families of our military killed in Afghanistan and Iraq financially.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids, they can keep their homes, and the kids can go to school and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And 100%, I do a jewelry sale. All the money, 100% of it goes directly to Operation Family Fund, and they turn it over to families. They don't take anything out either. So I like that kind of charity work. I don't like the charity work anymore where there is overhead.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah, you want to feel like it's the best quality it can
be. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How did your show get syndicated, by the way?
Hooked on Phonics was a product where you got this whole set of flashcards and tapes and notebooks, and you teach your kids how to read phonetically. And the guy was thinking about how he would promote on radio, and he was listening to me one day, and he went, oh, I like her point of view. Why don't I sponsor it? So he called me and said, I'd like to sponsor, and then it turned into syndication, and the rest is history.
Hmm. This is really a testament to just how things unfold, and probably part of how you've got to this place of just letting it happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember years ago being quite hooked on drama and getting anxious when things didn't happen when I thought they should. And this friend I met who said that she found that if she just didn't sweat it and just let things unfold, that they usually came around without the drama being necessary.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't come around, and if you don't have the drama, then you're not suffering nearly.
People do like to suffer, it's true.
Yeah,
well, it's what you believe, right? I mean, if you believe you're going to suffer, there you are suffering.
Yep.
And if you believe it's going to be easy, wow, like where's the pressure? It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular dreams coming up besides what you are doing?
I have a book coming out in January,
okay. The
follow-up to The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands.
Oh, yeah.
Called The Proper Care and Feeding of Marriage.
Ah. You've written a lot of books.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy the process.
You have quite a variety for children, women, and men.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I think, is particularly lovely. I think it's going to help a lot of marriages.
So you still believe in marriage, eh?
Yes. People have to believe in it more. Somebody who cares if you live or die is not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. There seems to be a real trend away from marriage.
Well, because people want without giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we have generations now that have been brought up to want without giving.
Mm-hmm. And you recommend that people not live together unless they've made that commitment.
Living together is for marriage. Shacking up.
Shacking up, that's it.
For wanting without giving.
So did you ever shack up?
Yeah, I did.
So you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I wanted, and I didn't want to give. I was a feminist, immature, and there you are. Mm-hmm. Ended up marrying him, and I'm still married, but that's statistically unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, shack-ups end up breaking up, and if they marry, they end up divorcing at higher rates.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pure accident, but it shows you my tenacity. I know exactly what the mentality is. It's gimme, 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 you ask something of me, and I'm out of here.
Yeah. Are you going to have a video of your one-woman show?
Nope.
You got to be there.
To actually show up.
Yeah, be there or miss it. Are you coming out to the West Coast at all with it?
The West Coast of Canada?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any appearances of any kind in Canada before?
I pretty much have avoided Canada.
Oh.
After I got condemned as hate speech.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Really?
Suggesting that people murder me or wishing to murder me, and somehow that's not hate speech. But for somebody to say that children ought to have a mom and a dad married and that's in their best interest, that's hate speech. So, oh, and I remember one quote that we Canadians don't revere free speech as much as you Americans. That scared me. So at that point, I decided I better not go over the border. What the liberal left says is protected speech, even if they threaten people's lives. I found that kind of scary.
Yeah.
I'm going to be coming there to tape a television thingy. We're not giving out the information. I will go to my local affiliate who has been loyal in spite of all that. There have been a handful of stations which have hung tough. I'm impressed with them. I like guts and tenacity, and they've been a good friend to free speech,
uh-huh,
me. But I don't know if I'll be doing the show that we had never talked about. I finally agreed to go over the border.
Initially, you used to say to people when they called in and said, first-time caller, you said, well, you can only be a first-time caller. You only allowed one-time call. Now, when did that change, and why did you change that?
Well, because I heard so many talk shows where they have the same four people calling in, you know, and I thought, it just sounds tacky. Just didn't like it, and I didn't want, that was one. Number two, I didn't want people to become dependent. It's not like weekly therapy.
Right.
What changed is that I started giving people assignments.
Right.
So then they had to call back.
Yeah, and they had to really take it further than just one phone call. Yeah.
So it showed me the level of their commitment. Are you going to call me tomorrow? Do you promise? Generally, they do. I think it's about 50%, which is, I think, pretty good. We often have, I'm on one line, they're on another line, their spouse or kid is on a third line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have the technology to do that, and thank goodness I have people working for me who know how to use the technology, because if we're up to me, we'd still have... You know, string with two cups.
That's right. You'd be in your closet and no one would be talking to you.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I tell you, callers impress the heck out of me. Even when they, you know, are a pain in the neck and won't listen, at least they tried. And some part of them is listening.
Yeah, that's right. They made the effort. And even if they say they've already done everything you're suggesting.
Oh, I love when they say that. Oh, I've done that already. Yeah, right. That's why you're on the phone. Uh-huh. Goodbye.
What would you say is the most frequent topic that comes up?
Problems in a relationship. Parent, spouse, child, neighbor, work. Yeah.
Well, you really advocate not only for children and family values, but also to enjoy sex.
Yeah.
Imagine, what a concept.
So many women turn down perfectly good orgasms. How dumb is that? Sheesh.
No, that's great. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Laura?
I think you covered an awful lot of ground.
It was such a thrill to have such an immediate response to my invitation.
You know, there's something about how you wrote your letter. I said, this is a nice person.
All right.
I run on my instinct, and I was right. Right again. Get so bored being right.
Have I asked you anything that you haven't been asked before?
Yes. Well, have I gotten anything out of it, and I turned it around, it was different, and there were a couple of other points.
Oh, good. Well, I'm going to ask you a question now that you've probably never been asked before. If you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be?
Elephant.
An elephant?
Yeah, hardly anybody messes with an elephant.
You got big feet.
Yeah, you know what I'm telling you? And you got thick skin, a lion jumps on you, and they go, forget this. This just isn't happening. You live a long time. You can roll around in dirt. You can throw water around. If I had to be an animal, that would be it. I wouldn't want to be a dog. They walk around smelling each other's butt. Just not how I want to go through life.
Is your trunk raised or lowered?
Well, it depends. If I'm getting peanuts.
Well, that's great. I would not have expected that, but those are good. Yeah, good reasons. Because you do want to live a long life and keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
And you have developed a thick skin.
Yes, I have. I mean, I can be touched. It's just harder to hurt me.
I am touched when I can hear that you're touched by some of the calls, and I'm sure you must be.
Well, there are times I have to pull my act together, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really commend you with your outreach, Laura. I think it's really amazing. My life has certainly been changed by listening to your show over the years. More respectful of human values. Yeah, of family values. Certainly changed my awareness of relationships. In fact, at that point in 1994 was a real turning point of realizing how sensitive families are with children, with the family breaking up. And mm-hmm. It really changed my perspective on a lot of things in a really positive way.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Continue to influence me today. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I enjoyed this. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you are so welcome.
If I can help you in any way, you just contact me.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you ever need a good reference for anything.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You give your kids a sense of hope about life. That's how powerful you are. I don't let my feelings dictate what I'll do. I would like to eat chocolate cake every day, but I don't. And I'm thin, but I'm thin because I work at it. So I don't have a lot of patience with people whining to me about fat. I really don't, and I'm very upfront about that. But I'm here to tell you that your being fat is the least important thing. The most important thing is how good a human being you are, how loving and caring and sacrificing a mother you are, how attentive and sweet you are as a wife. Those are much more important than how fat you are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Yes, you're right.
And you're depressed because you don't give yourself enough things to feel good about.
Exactly.
And if you promised your kids and your husband and followed through, I promise you, you would feel so good about yourself. But you push out everything you know to be true and good. The minute you use the word but, it's over. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
I first have to say you're the reason I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Excellent.
I never had anyone growing up who pointed me in that direction or...
No, not in your era, but we're working it back. What can I help you with today?
Thank you very much.
When I get down, I turn to you. And you make sense of what I do.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Now go do the right thing.